Here.
Phil? Al?
Here.
Did I miss anybody?
Did you say Ann?
I'm sorry. Jeff suggests let's scoot down to item eight, letter E, preparation.
So yeah, we just printed out our application schedule for everybody. It's basically, well, for, I'll start for you, Creek. Basically the same as it has been in the years past. We're gonna start the last week of March and do our verification there. We're just gonna solid time the greens. There hasn't been any play hardly since, you know, October was a little busy, November, December, February, all that hasn't had any play. So we're just gonna solid time, just try to get down low and sort of break up that stuff down deep. It's really helped in the last couple of years with the localized dry spot, those little dry marks that you see around the greens. We've been able to really cut back on those the last few years. So I think that's a big part of it, is getting down deep and loosening that stuff up before, or down there. It hadn't been done, you know, the so many years before the last two or three. So I think it's helped. And then we'll just go, you know, monthly with our solid tines, little needle tines, poke little holes in there, and pretty much good to go the next day, next afternoon or something. And then we'll do tees in the spring, tees in the fall. We'll probably get out and do approaches in the spring with pulling cores out of those, and then we'll get around and clean up those. And then roughs and round bunkers are just year round with the airway machine. Just try to slice it and try to get fairways as much as you can. Those are a little hard, and the machine's slow, and we've got a lot of acres of fairways out there. So, but yeah, we'll plug away at it, and then we'll go and get into fall. We're still kind of debating. It's either going to be the last week of September or the first week of October. We're trying to figure out a few tournaments and then we need to work around those two things. So same thing in the fall. We'll just probably solid time, maybe pull a little tiny cores again, but it'll be about the same as the spring. A lot of sand. The geese have really done number 12 this year, so we got to fill in some holes there. So we'll get a lot of sand on the greens in the spring.
Ryan's going to talk about
he's going to talk about verification for Twin Peaks.
So I'll do the Sunset. Twin Peaks and Sunset verification schedule. Well, I'll start with Sunset, and these were in the packets if everyone printed out the entire sheet. But so Twin Peaks and Sunset are going to be doing a very similar aeration schedule this year. Starting towards the end of March, middle of March, depending on what the weather looks like, we'll start out with our fairways and roughs, getting out there and trying to make some holes, reduce some compaction. Last year, at both courses, we were successfully able to aerate all the greens, all the tees, all the surrounds, and all of the fairways, which has been a couple of years since we've been able to get it all done. So this year we're gonna go after it again and try to get them all done again in the spring and the fall. But as far as the greens go, we'll start out on April 5th in Sunset, weather permitting, doing the full course aeration. And we're gonna go with hollow tines, just the small half inch, just under half inch ID. So just about the size of my pin. Fill them up with sand, put some fertilizer down. Same thing at Twin Peaks in the spring. We'll be going the week after on April 11th. We've noticed over the past year there hasn't been as good percolation and filtration of the greens at Twin Peaks and Sunset. So this year the goal is to open them up and get as much fresh sand in them as we can to reduce some of the black layer that's been growing over the year. Through last year with all the play we had, I believe I discussed some about it last year when I did my course presentations. So this year we're going to be attacking that. And then once a month throughout the summer, we'll be using the needle tines like U Creek does to open up the greens to get some air flowing through them. Just the ones that will be healed up by the next day. In this fall, we'll be doing a full course aeration on September 13th for Sunset, which is a week later than usual, just because it falls usual date falls on the same week as Labor Day, and it's already a short week, so we don't want to make it any shorter than we need to. You know, give the course some more time to heal up. And then also, the day before, on September 12th, we'll be going at Twin Peaks, and that day we'll be going, we'll be opening up to tea times at 2:30 in the afternoon, which reminds me. So at sunset, we'll be closed all day because we have the cross-country meet. So we're just doing solid times in the fall, which will be closed all day for the cross-country meet. But Twin Peaks will be using the same times, but we'd be hoping later that afternoon because we won't be doing as big an impact to the greens. So let's be a few holes, a little bit of sand and some fertilizer. So and then we'll do the same thing in the fall, trying to get the tees, fairways, and roughs aerated also to get ready for the winter. And yeah, that's the aeration plan for all three courses this year. Now we just need the weather to cooperate with us.
Yeah. Any questions?
So yeah, let's do frost.
Okay.
Tim and Phil, we started at the bottom of the agenda, not knowing if other board members were going to come, so we didn't do reorg. Just
sure. I apologize for this race between meetings.
All right. Thanks, kids. Okay, so we're going to do a little presentation on frost and kind of what causes frost and the reasons we do what we do to keep golfers off of the course during frost. I'm not a scientist. I don't know the exact science behind it. I found a pretty good article that really dumbs it down for people like me who are not a scientist and can't explain the in-depths of it. So I just put out some slides and we'll just kind of go through them. And if you guys have any questions, we'll try to answer it the best we can. If not, we'll Google it. So where does frost come from? It's formed by dew that forms on the plant at night when there is no solar energy to replace radiation at night. As the leaf cools, then the water, the leaf plant isn't able to hold the water, so it comes outside of the plant and forms on the leaf blade. So this causes the water to appear, and then when the temperatures drop low enough, it'll turn into frost. Most of the water vapor comes from the soil, and when it's wet and the air is dry, this helps to drive the moisture up through the grass. So when you have, you know, moisture in the soil, then it comes up through the plant and it comes on the outside. And then when it gets cold enough, then it starts to form frost. So why does frost form when air temperature is above freezing? So this again has to do with the infrared radiation, you know, no sunlight. At night, the earth emits heat into space and the sun isn't there to replace it and cools the surface. Since cooler air is more dense, it remains closer to the grass, you know, so it's a lot cooler down right at the grass blades than it is, you know, way up here. So as it goes, it pushes that colder air down. So that's what helps, you know, get the frost. Your air temperature, I think I have it in the next slide, but their air temperatures that they take out of, you know, airports or your thermometers, wherever you go, are always taken way up high. And so it's a lot cooler down at grass level and stuff like that. So that's why we get, you know, eventually the air will cool to the frost point and frost will form because the air cannot hold as much water and then the frost will form. So the longer nighttime periods in the spring and fall, you get more cooling since there's more time to lose energy, you know. That's kind of obvious, you know, makes pretty much sense. You know, the longer it's colder, you know, the more chance you have of frost. And as we get into the fall, then, you know, temperatures are lower. And that's why it's hard for us to decide when we want to water in the fall, because we know we're gonna make frost, we're gonna make ice, but we wanna get the golfers started too, but sometimes you just have to water. So we kind of fight back and forth with what we wanna do. Some days we just have to start tee times a little later knowing that we're gonna have some frost. Frosty weather. Air temperature alone cannot be used to predict frost. For frost to form, air temperature and leaf temperature must fall into the frost point, which, you know, like I said, it's not always 32 degrees or below. It can, what we usually look at is about 40 degrees. If it's 40 degrees or below, there's probably going to be frost, just because the temperature diversions and different areas there to take
it. And also, too, you could go all night and be clear, and right when the sun comes up, the temperature drops just a few degrees, and you can have frost form right as the sun rises in the morning. So sometimes you could show up and it's still be dark out and be perfectly fine. We're having to call our crew off the course, especially in the fall, when, you know, we're so used to going right away. And just like that, there's frost. Just that little bit of dip in temperature in the morning from the sun coming up.
Yeah, the sun temperature, the sun will push that cold air down right to the grass, and then we get the frost. So same thing, the dew point depression is different between the dew point and the air temperature. The greater the depression, the more cooling is needed for frost to form. So that's just kind of, you know, one of those things where it's just the balance of in between of how it's going to form that day. So different weather and environmental factors affect the amount of cooling at night. So I think the next slide will show, yeah, some of the other factors. So I don't know if you want to go ahead or.
Yeah. So one of the first factor is sky cover, so clouds. So if it's cloudy out, there's a good chance there won't be frost, just because the clouds act like a blanket and keep that overnight temperature up to sustain that air temperature through the night. And also we minimize the temperature difference between the surface and space, which slows the cooling at night. So if we have most frosty nights come on, cool, clear nights outside where we know we have a cloudy night, we have a good chance of no frost the next morning. Next would be the dew point. So the air temperature, where the air is completely saturated with water vapor. So we have an increase in humidity. Once again, more better chance of being a frosty morning. Day length, so longer night periods may have allowed for the air to continue to cool and to the frost point. Frost would likely form on that cold, clear, calm night. So more chances to be cool, more better chance for frost the next morning. So we take all these, and there's some more on the next page, but we'll take all of this in consideration with tee times, tournaments, whatever. If we know something's happened, like that, something's happening, or we're leading to water, it's going to be a really cool, clear night, we can kind of take a guess and help plan for those times where there may be a little bit of a delay in the next morning.
Yeah, that's why we, you know, bump the tee times back, especially for daylight, but it's also because of frost, you know. So as we start to move forward this time of the year, it'll start to get earlier and earlier. We'll play golf sooner and sooner.
So wind, so kind of like the cloud cover, wind will help prevent the frost, keeping that air moving, keeping the cool air or the warm air down and the cool air up so it doesn't keep down to the grass. Then topography, so the lower areas will be the first to develop frost as the cooler, more dense air settles in these areas. So this one is a good one if you golf very much at sunset. You'll notice that it could be perfectly fine up on the number one tee at the clubhouse, but we're waiting on frost because down on number one green, being down lower, there's frost down there. So this shows how much just a little bit of change in the elevation of the area can create the frost. Also, mowing height. Frost forms heavier in the higher mown turf. This happens because the fairway turf is closer to the warm soil, which is radiating heat upwards. So the longer grass blades help keeping the cool up at the top. The cooler ones will allow the warm air to come up through and be a lot less frost in the rough areas of the golf course.
The roughs are usually what slows everybody down, because greens usually don't get frost unless it's really cold. It has to be really cold where you water that night. But the roughs, they'll get it at 40 to 32 degrees almost guaranteed. So.
Go for it.
All right, so the frost of the morning, you know, even though the sun's rising and the air temperature continued to decline, that's what I was talking about, which it pushes the cold air down, and that's what causes our frost, right as the sun's coming up. That's usually the time that we know we're gonna get frost, and that's like the coldest time of the day too, is right about there. So even though the temperature is 40, the air is a poor conductor of heat, and the frost will be slow to melt into dew, which, you know, that we can play. But it's that whole thing of the cold air staying lower. So it also takes additional energy to change ice back to water, increasing the time that frost stays around, you know. So kind of basic science there, you know. I said it would, we try to base it as soon as we can. So yeah, that's what keeps it around. Yeah, that's a good picture.
Oh, there we go. So basically, this last slide here kind of sums it all up and gives an explanation of why we have frost delays and why we want to keep the golfers off the grass. So basically, walking on or driving on frost cover causes the plant to break and cell walls to rupture. So basically, the frost, all that moisture inside that leaf blade, once someone steps on it, when it gets frosty, it freezes. When it gets stepped on, it explodes and damages the inside of that, the cells of that plant. So the cells will lose the ability to function normally, and then damage can be seen within 48 to 72 hours later after the plant leaves turn brown and die. So this picture down here is a good example that I found. So this is one I just found offline, so this is not a real world scenario from here, but all these brown marks around here, this green, that's all frost damage. So that can be seen in the weakening of the turf and making it more susceptible to disease and weeds. So basically, these areas here, the grass blades have died and will stay like that until they can grow back. So when it happens in the frost, it could be all through the winter that this damage stays through. We're in the spring, it would peel back a little more. And if you see someone where it happens right that day, you'll see these footprints will be black spots on the grass, and this is what happens in that 48 to 72 hours afterwards.
Can you do anything to stimulate that growback if you happen to have it?
It's pretty much, the damage is there, and all the growth back will be coming up from the plants down below or around them.
So there's nothing you can do about it.
No, you just gotta wait for it to grow up and mow it off. I mean, you can get up there and help it out.
In the spring, it won't be as noticeable because we're in the growing season and it'll come back quick. But in the fall, I'm guessing from this picture with the way it looks in the back, this is probably in the fall because everything's going dormant. So eventually, this will be lessened when the green goes more dormant, but you'll see it again in the spring, and then the plant will just have to grow itself back once the ones around it get healthy. Yeah. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, so you can always golf around 90 on the course. How do you make the decision if the frost is gone?
Yeah. So basically, you can do the step test, or you kind of wipe the plant blade. So basically, when the frost is there, if you step down or press on the plant, it'll stay pushed down. And we're looking for the plant to spring back, which means that the cells, the moisture inside of the cells are starting to thaw out and the grass blade will pop back. Or another way to see it is if you take your hand and wipe it across the frost, if you wipe it and it still looks like icicles, then you still have a ways, but once it starts to melt, or if you ever hear someone at the clubhouse say the frost is starting to loosen up, you go and take your hand across it and you'll see it like you're kind of wiping the frost off your windshield when it warms up in the morning. So it's basically you're looking for that plant to bounce back when you put a wave door action on it.
Well, I just give it a little bit longer than we should, because it the deeper down it gets, you can't really tell if it gets deep down into like the root of the plant down there, and then you can still have that damage and you might not be able to see it. So we always like to just give it a few extra, you know, maybe 10 minutes or something like that. It really helps out.
So I have like three questions, and I'll ask them all at the same time. I plead my ignorance. I did not know this until I saw your presentation, so I appreciate it. I thought it was something completely different. I thought it was just the grains. That's my ignorance. Now that we know this, we can help you by letting others know. Because most of the time, people just stand around complaining because it's across the way, and we don't really know where it is.
Yeah, these guys have heard everything the pros get to hear.
Really, they do that?
Slide right there was pretty definitive. It tells you where it breaks the grass, so maybe we can put that up. And then my real question, how many of them do we have? I mean, I don't play every morning.
How many what?
How many frost waves do we have? A lot.
It's almost daily.
Sunset, it's I was gonna say it's daily.
Yeah, once you get
this time of year.
It's usually mid October.
That's when you start to really see it, and then it kind of lightens up in that March.
We'll get to March.
March.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
I think something.
And the trees don't help us either one.
Right.
So
right.
You know,
trees are not good.
Because that slide right there is pretty informative for any golfer like myself. I have no idea.
Yeah.
For definitely a sunset, it's more rough, I guess you'd say, because the south side, 3 through 8, it could be clear as all can be, and it's only number 2 that's holding this up because it faces to the north this time of year.
And the trees
don't help it because it's blocking more of the sunlight and it takes a lot longer, and it really hinders us some days. But what do you do?
So have you ever thought of like putting that into a laminated piece and a cross or just set it like that? So,
it's not a bad idea, you know.
It's pretty important.
The article that Dan used was a published one that we could. It's included in all the board packets, so.
I think the picture shows everything.
Just that whole slide could be, just set on the counter because everybody has those little placards that we could use. But
no, I had no idea.
And you've been playing golf forever, right?
Yeah, for a long time. Well, probably, I thought the green was fun.
It's usually not the green, That's why we can kind of get out there before. That's why you'll see us get out first, because we can get out and mow the green while the fairways and roughs are still.
Well, the other piece I can speak from. Experience too. We have no idea when it's going to stop or whenever this way. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's all around that, like Dan mentioned a few slides back, that 40 degree mark. Once we get 40, everything starts to melt off. But sometimes we get there, we're crested right about the 40, then a cloud bank comes in and it kind of slows the process.
This is a little different question. There's a group of people that play very much for the morning tea time. They wear this. You take grief from them all the time. They know, right?
They get it now.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the golfers now in the mornings, they understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've come to just accept it. The guys have been real good at about letting the range be open.
Yeah.
So they go out. People go out, hit ball. That at least keeps them occupied. And then once it's finally off and we send it, but most people really do understand. If you play in the mornings, they know.
Falls
they're pretty good about it.
Time because we're so used to starting early in the summer, then all of a sudden we hit that weather changes. All of a sudden you can't golf first thing in the morning.
And from my experience, some are warmer than others too.
Clouds are good. Clouds are good if we get them at night.
Yeah.
But if a cloud rolls in right after the sun puts that frost down there, then it could be, who knows.
I think I was here and I don't think we started the one.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we've had days out when one of those layer clouds comes in.
Wow.
Just exactly what they just described. And then it didn't warm up that day. And we actually never opened.
Oh my God.
There's been days where we didn't open at all because frost stayed on all day. It never got above 30 degrees all day.
And then
the cloud actually didn't work as a blanket this time.
No.
It worked to keep that cold air in.
Especially if you watered that night or two, and you're thinking, it's going to come up, and then it doesn't, and then you're okay, well, we might be shut down today. this is a great article. It was written by, he used to be a professor at Nebraska, and now he's the superintendent and just does a ton of stuff for just golf. Really good article. Glad I found it that day. I learned a lot from this article, too. I mean, I knew the idea of it, but the science behind it was right here, so that was great. Anything else?
Any other questions?
Well done, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's reorder.
Going back to the agenda item two, which will let you chair and vice chair. Volunteer to be chair. Oh, come on, guys. Come on, your big word names.
You nominate one of them.
Yep.
For a minute ago, I told my aunt she needed to be chair. Of course, that's the reason she's not here. John has been nominated. Anyone want to take the vote? All in favor of John being chair? Say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hands. I looked at John, who declines the vote. Your chair, John, go for it.
Okay, we elect a vice chair. Any nominations? Any volunteers? Somebody volunteer, please.
Think you're elected candidate.
Here.
I would guess she would do that.
She was vice last year.
Right.
Yeah. Has somebody made a nomination for Anne?
I would nominate Anne to be vice chair.
Any second?
Second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Anne.
Don't skip a meeting with this group.
It's like when you go to meetings with Jeff, you get nominated for yourself all the time.
Okay, next thing is the agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? If not,
sign over to the airport.
Second?
Second.
Second motion.
The motion's been made and seconded. All in favor of the agenda being as is, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The agenda is carried, is as is. Also, any corrections to the previous minutes many months ago? If there are no corrections, somebody make a motion to accept the hearing. And it has been seconded. All in favor of the minutes as is, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Yes, carries. Minutes are written. All right, as written. There's no public here today. So we're not worried about that. Communications, golf, professionals, monthly, time monthly. Bring up in order.
Sure. Well, I'll go first. Mine's kind of easy. Unfortunately, projected for January to go back to, since we're almost done with February now, but $9,697 was projected. Actual revenue came in at $695. No rounds at all in January. Y'all can probably figure out why. This has been a much longer winter than we had in a few years now.
Last year
for sure. Past that now. But it's been rough. We're ready. We're dying to be open, let's be honest. You know, Keith got open yesterday, kind of. Yeah. So Sam got open yesterday, walking only, he was carts. Carts outside, I think. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yep.
Curve path though, still grew a lot. Any questions for Sunset?
Twin Peaks?
I will do Twin Peaks and I'll be in Creek for Sam. I probably should add anything that needs to be said.
Twin Peaks is just like Sunset, you know? Some guy accidentally booked in 2022 there, and that's how we made that $34. We didn't, you know, we got that refunded to it too. So anyway, it's the same thing. We were closed both months. We did get open yesterday, which was nice. I sold a couple season passes last week, so we're having a smoke in February right now compared to last year, which we made absolutely zero. So we did get a few rounds in today, a few rounds yesterday. Walking only out there. It's dry enough now. I think we can get carts on it. Pretty much emptied all the moisture out of it today. Courses, I'm pleased because starting the year, you know, last year I look out the window at the putting green, and you could tell where every hole on the putting green was. Okay, because of all the wear and tear we got last November of 21 and December of 21, we were open all the way until we had the fire in the Marshall fire. Yeah, so we were open all that time basically and had, you know, a record-breaking fall, record-breaking November, December. But the golf course just got absolutely demolished. And it got to the place where we talked about paying people and not having to play, just closing. So now if you look out at the putting green, you can't see where one hole is because the grass has basically been preserved. We had fairly limited play in November and very limited play in December and none in January, February. So, you know, with all the hard work Ryan's doing, I think the golf course is going to come out of the winter months really good. And I think Ute Creek is on the verge of doing cart path only in the fall. And their report is the same thing. They did nothing the last 2 months except the last 2 days. They were on the verge of doing cart path only in the fall. And I think that email even went out.
It did.
And that, of course, inspired the snow to come.
Perfect.
And we went cart path after that. So, you know, now they're back open and cart path only, which is good to get started.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of growth yet in the grass.
Exactly. That's
although it is, if you look close, you can see green grass.
There's green under there. What's that?
And the trees are pollinating. Even without them, you're bothering them. It's already started. So we're looking forward to it. The golf courses aren't in that. They're going to come out of the winter much better than we did last year.
It's going to be a much better spring.
You know, the only problem might be once we get out there, we might find a little damage. And Ryan and Dan could explain this better. A little damage from the ice layer, because that initial snow was what took so long to get rid of. It was so wet, and then it got so cold after that we had 2-3 inches of ice for the longest time. You know, freeze thaw, and that's not good at some point for the grass because it's not getting oxygen, it's not getting enough light. So hopefully we don't have a lot of those spots, but I'm sure there's going to be some of those spots.
We're good. I drove the course today and looked at all the greens. We don't have any damage from the ice, but it makes you not sleep too well when you know it's up, and that's why we got out in late January, maybe early February, and pushed as much snow off as we could. Snowblowers, tractors to help it thaw out faster. So we got it down to that ice layer, and then that helps move it or thaw out. You know, so
then you really only need one good 60 degree day with
wind,
and that ice layer will go.
Yeah,
just like that. But it needs to be. It doesn't. If there's 3-4 inches of snow on top of that layer, you can't. It won't come off fast enough,
so,
and then it freezes again.
I played Ute Creek today, and the greens are balls.
Yeah, I will say I was surprised. I pushed a flag 5 inches into the ground on there, so they're
really soft,
really thought out. Yeah, so it is good. But hopefully, people are fixing the ball marks. We don't need to start ball marks in February.
I think people would either just know what they're about or
now. Exactly. It's the same thing after verification. Oh, you're just verified. I don't have to fix my ball mark, you know. So it's like, yeah, you do.
Like I played it today, and it's like,
yeah.
5 or 6 ball marks.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, 12 green, the geese just attack that thing so bad, and they peck, and dig it down past the roots of the plant. So we have a new plan for that one next year.
And to that end, about all three golf courses, the geese are a legitimate issue.
Yeah.
We have probably 200 stakes year-round just at Twin Peaks. And when you're out playing and you see a green, first of all, you see a green and they've gone to the restroom all over the grass. That's not fun. But you'll see holes like this where they will just stay in one spot and go and just and literally take a hole out like that big or bigger in the greens. That's what those are. Those are the geese taking those up. So they are a legitimate problem. It'd be great if someone could figure out what we can do about it. It's a tough one.
Oh, yeah, for a while, I didn't tear it up. Goose crap everywhere.
I got a Twin Peaks around my house today. I don't live too far.
Yeah.
But, how did you do last year?
Twin Peaks had a record year of 1.307 million. And then Ute Creek, I don't have a year with numbers. I know Sam had 1.8.
1.9. Yeah, 1.9 million
waivers. We were right 2 weeks short of hitting the new magic number.
Okay, yeah, we hit our magic number, and we were fairly lucky at Twin Peaks. We hit our magic number, but we actually, because of that fall where we didn't have a good December and January, or December and November, and October wasn't that great either. Y'all remember, it wasn't right. Very great October. Our rounds were down just in those months, just in the shoulder season months. That's where we lost a lot of the rounds. But because we had adjusted our fees last year dynamically upwards, we still made our numbers and then some over prior year, which was a record year that year.
So anything else?
No.
Is that form easier for everybody to read with the lines?
Yeah, I like the new form.
Yeah. So yeah. Thank you to Danny for doing that.
Yeah. Thanks.
There is no old business. Let's see, new business for you. I guess the first thing we have to do is decide where we're going to meet this coming year. It's proposed to be here at 6 o'clock in the 4th Monday. Is anybody?
I have a question about
yes.
Why is it Monday? Does it have to be Monday? I mean, I know for sure it's Sam's day off.
No, it's just always been on Mondays.
Yeah, would anybody be open to a different day? I mean, this could be part of the fall weekend. Same day off, I don't know what day off the other guys have, but yeah.
It cannot be on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I often have to go and Tim would never be able to be here.
I just want to be clear, it doesn't matter to me, but I just wonder if anybody else thought about it here today.
I think from my standpoint, Monday is probably the best for this building. Simply because during the summer months when we do have meetings, we have leagues. And I have so we couldn't do Tuesdays, which now pushes us to Wednesdays. And Wednesday evening at this time, there are 30 to 50 ladies in here for the sweet spots to be drinking and partying and having a great time.
I want to bring it up for you guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
And if you want to consider changing your day, you're welcome to.
I think for the facility, Monday is probably the best night.
I agree with that.
And 6 o'clock.
It was my day off, too.
6 o'clock, okay.
Well, can somebody make a motion that we maintain our present schedule?
So moved.
All in favor of meeting on Monday, the 4th Monday at 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Good week, small course, what? This is your meeting location, isn't it? This is aimed for hosting GCB agendas.
That's the Golf Course Advisory Board. And we post those on the city website, but we need you to pass a motion agreeing with that.
Should we also say within a certain period of time?
No, it's all dictated by city clerk's office.
It's already there.
Yeah.
I move that we post the advisory board agendas is the update.
Second the motion.
Second.
All in favor of the posting the GCAB agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Established 2023 agenda items.
So the proposed calendar was in your packet. Generally, staff has outlined some of the things that go on during the year. If you all have other things that you would like to talk about, we'd like to hear that, and we can crunch those into the calendar as well. Or you can approve it as presented.
I'm going to approve it as presented.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded to accept the schedule and the items on the schedule.
Items can be added if something comes up, can they not?
Yes, they can.
All in favor of this schedule, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Let's see, the configuration and on the staff?
Not any.
No items. No items from the staff? Items from...
Actually, I have one item. Sorry, it'll be a real
one.
Sorry. All three golf courses have gotten new upgraded point-of-sale software. And as customers, if you hear about it, someone's trying to check in, and it's taking a little longer than normal. We had the same software since 2009. So this is not the same. It is much different. It is going to take some time for everyone to get comfortable and used to it. And no matter how much we train them, the training on the fly is what's going to be what costs everyone to learn how to run it. You know, so when you check in, John, when you check in, look out and say, "Hi, my name is John." Hey, we make a tee time, give them your first name and your last name because we're typing it in. We got to look it up, and then we can make the tee time from there. I think once everybody gets it, it's going to be really good. The computers finally talk to all three golf courses. So if Philip buys a pass at Sunset, that pass is now going to populate as a Sunset Twin Peaks or a three-course pass for all three courses. That is great. So there's a lot of really good in it, but there's going to be literally, I'm on day two with it. Ryan and I were talking before the meeting about how are we going to report these things and this and that and everything else. So we're figuring it all out and just kind of bear with ourselves. But people, you hear people talking about it, you know, it's a big learning curve.
When in place just a couple days ago?
The actual installation was last Tuesday. It went live, I think.
It went live
Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday, Thursday, because I could look at it online. And it's a cloud-based system, so Sam, Keith, and I can actually adjust something if we're off. If I'm off on a day and I don't want to travel to the golf course, I can log in and I can change things.
Exactly.
I can fix it.
Yesterday.
But I don't know if I bit my tongue because I did meet myself in a meeting today, but it's definitely a learning curve. I mean, for me, and I've grown up with computers.
Especially the fact that we aren't using it a lot
And that's going to be the thing, is like he said, we're learning on the fly, and we won't be able to learn on the fly until you guys are coming in.
Right.
I haven't had anybody check in for a tee time. I will find out tomorrow how easy, complicated, or frustrating it could be. But it's the way it is.
Yes.
We learn, we move on.
Yeah. After 2 days, I feel a lot better. But I didn't sleep very good the last 2 days. it's you know, and then I got to get everyone trained. And I only got, you know, most of my guys that work for me are y'all's age. And
what does that mean?
Take it for what it is. I got one young kid that works for me. He's 21.
You don't understand.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And then I showed him all the modules, and I'm like, learn all those and then teach me. And he will. He's like, within 5 minutes he goes, okay, here's how you do this and here's how you do that. And I'm, you know, learning. You know, they've grown up in it. A lot of us, if you get older, have not, and it's way different.
Keith, why do you have a driving range up there?
Where?
Why do you have a driving range up there?
Why?
Why are your golf courses up there driving range?
Why?
That was a question.
Oh, for practice.
To get better.
To get better.
What's the equivalent of your driving range? Is there what?
They have a training mode, but it's not. I'm not going to say I love the training mode.
So they don't have.
The training mode tends to slip in and out of live mode.
So yeah, anything you do in training mode, you have to go back and void it out. Otherwise, it will process the next day.
That may be some feedback to whoever sells.
Oh, it's already been given.
Yes, we've already.
Yeah. So to answer your question, Councilman, the training mode is key. Not out there on the lesson team right now, but hovering over someone's shoulder, patiently walking them through this process of learning the software. And that's why it was really nice today when Carter came in. I showed him one time. This is how it works. This is what we do. Okay. Isaac, you got it?
Yeah, I got it.
I go in a little bit later and I look in the background to see if he's doing everything. Perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I buy the manual pass, and if I buy it at sunset over here, then I have, and if I buy it here, then I have sunset. And then they ask me, and of course I tell them about blah, blah, blah. I'm an honest person. But I thought to myself, geez.
Yeah.
What if I wanted to go instead of a couple months or something like that?
So the old system too, we had a lot of different names. So you could have been under John Hay, John Hayes, John Hay, a different one.
There is multiple John Hayes on there.
Golf Now cleaned all that up for us.
We cleaned up our data.
Everything is, if I type in John Hay right now, it should only have one person. Even if I go in to create a new you, because I don't know who you are, say, and didn't know you already were in there, it'll pop up saying they already have this because you have to put an email or a phone number associated with it, and it won't let you do the 99999s or the sevens. So you have to put it. Well,
yeah,
that's what we tell staff.
Exactly. It's worse. It's worse than that. The old software, if John has his pass and then he signs into the portal online and he books a tee time online, it changed his It'll change the old software would change his profile from a Twin Peaks 5-day pass holder to an internet customer. So then he comes in, and so instead of us just clicking, double clicking his name and having it populate the T sheet with his pass rate, it populates it with the full rate. Well, the guy behind the counter doesn't know what's going to, you know. So this now, it's really nice from that standpoint. If you have a membership now, it comes up right underneath your name, member. I go to the shopping cart, it puts the fee for that moment right there in there, and it's seamless.
Let me ask you this. I call in and you're busy, so I get transferred to
the answer center.
So what happens then?
Just you would book the tee time still with them. Your name would still populate because they're still pulling our database.
If anything, it should make this easier. Because if I walked over and showed you right now, I can make a tee time up. Other than typing up your name, I can click two clicks in the tee times main.
Wow.
So those folks who are booking the tee times that are off-site when you don't get our pro shops, that are answering 24 hours a day, that are off-site somewhere else, they should have a much easier time because there are less duplicates and there are less click-throughs with this software. So that should make Golf Now Answers much better. And I would agree it was awful last year and I filed every complaint we could. And then they put their best people in, that didn't help much either, so. But I do think it'll help.
Yeah.
So that was, I just wanted to explain that. So if you hear people talking about it, and I'm trying to train, right now I'm trying to educate the customers, because they're so used to just coming in, and us, you know, pretty much making it really easy for them, because we know everybody, and now it's gonna, there's some relearning going on with the customers. Even though you think we know, give us your first name, give us your last name, spell it correctly, because if it isn't spelled correctly, okay? And then if Chuck Davis is working, I say, mind you, he can't hear. So it's important to make sure that the customers know that if they give us the right information, we can get it through there much quicker.
So is there any benefit to stop out on the courses and just check and say, hey, can I check to verify my profile?
Sure, absolutely.
And then what do you get?
Absolutely, you only gotta stop by one course to do that. Yeah,
okay.
So that was it. That was my only item from staff.
Good information. Any items from your short reading? Oh, any items from Google?
You got it.
So I have four things, but I think I forgot three. One, I was at the Golf Expo one talking to the people from the CGA, the Power Golf Association. And I wasn't aware of this, but when you have a CGA membership and you go to fill it out, it actually what course is yours. So I chose a virtual course of Duke Creek because I don't do it later than most. And apparently you get fees for that, you get something from them for that, that's what they told me. From the CGA, your courses do it. If a player has chosen them as their home course.
I don't think we get anything in a sense. It just goes into our list of members.
We actually have to pay.
We have to pay for them.
Oh, yeah.
We pay to be members of that whole system.
Yeah, the CGA, that's not
yeah, no. So if you do it online, from what I've been told multiple times, if you just go on Jen's website and sign up to be have Jen Handicap, and you have to select home course.
Right.
If you select U Creek, for instance, you are in their database. So when whoever the president is over there right now of their men's club goes to do a, or the treasurer goes to renew the membership, they will either delete everybody and just have everyone start over and you guys will have to pay them directly, or you will automatically be renewed and you'll have to pay U Creek in a sense, but that's not how it, we don't auto-renew anybody.
Yeah, I've yet to see that check.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh,
it's awesome. We did. Sunset's men, our treasurer, he gets an invoice from the CGA saying, well, you had 133 men's club or had 133 members in your gin profile. Here's an invoice that you owe us for 133 members at
$25 or
$30. At $35 per shoes. And so he'll audit his books and say, no, we only have X number of members right now. This is how many we're paying you for right now because nobody else has paid us. And those that didn't pay by April 15th become deactivated. And you have to reactivate.
It's kind of the opposite. That's horrible. All right, this next one that I have is, I don't know if it's for who this is for, but the stadium money, what the city's doing with that.
That's probably me.
That'd be you. So any coming our way, I was thinking more of Keith and his junior program, or still it's unallocated as far as I know.
I wish I could tell you. What process, if there's gonna be one,
yeah.
And what the priorities would be. So the answer to your question is I don't know.
Nobody knows, yeah. That's pretty much what they are. And I just heard that sometimes the money gets allocated. There was money and they allocated it to cricket.
Well,
so if there's a way that maybe some of the courses could apply for some of the junior programs or something, I don't know when the city will make a decision about it.
Well, it won't be the city, it'll be the city council.
The city council.
I'll just tell my own view on this is that it's one-time money.
Yeah.
It's best spent on, I would support spending it on the U Creek Clubhouse or
yeah.
Anything that endures. In my view, to put money, one-time money in a program that once it's spent, it's gone and there's nothing that endures beyond today or tomorrow is not a good use of one-time money, in my opinion.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
And my program is good.
Anything else? I just have one more. So, you know, the thing about the cross tonight, any chance we would promote that via our social media for our golf courses?
Yeah, I mean, that.
More of the people.
Final slide.
A lot of people that do play here are, joined with the Facebook pages and the social media. I mean, that's something I'd love to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a few other ones too, that new signs that are going to come out this year about using the range the right way and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, we can get it over to Dan. You take care of all of that social.
No. There's a typo on that slide in my front.
Uh-oh.
It's before you. You're from the
last one. The last one?
I don't know.
Anything else? The second item, you have loose instead of lose.
Well, someone dropped it on me on Friday.
I'm just saying, before you print up a bunch of stuff,
do your
you might want to correct it.
Told you, we're not the smartest guys. We just grow grass.
Any other items? You come up before the board.
Look for a German.
No, we just say, in case you want to get a hold of me, my phone number is 303.
No, don't do that with the public meeting. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't you're being recorded.
We have your number. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, in that case, is there a minute to adjourn? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Do you have a second to after? Oh.